James, I want to ask you one more question, and then you may have some final comments. And the question is this. Much of the discussion around credentials and different approaches to learning is grounded in consideration of career or vocational skills or training or education. What about going forward, the more traditional liberal arts, the humanities, the theoretical science and mathematics disciplines? How will that play out in this emerging world?
The short answer is I've got no idea, Judith, but I'm going to try. I think there are a couple of interesting things. We see more fluidity in learning. We spoke about that a couple of times today. So it's no longer the formal, non-formal, informal, that those classical OECD definitions. So this fluidity impacts on all disciplines, and not only maybe the kind of not any specific ones, to be honest. So, and I think so that's something that we need to look at and understand. I also see kind of more agility in terms of the way that the learning gets offered across disciplines and schools and different philosophies. I'm just thinking of an example that I can give you maybe from the US context, but where people are, when they go for interviews, of course, CVs and these kind of things are important, but in most cases now you would find a kind of screening competency assessment that happens to test whether this person coming from liberal arts or from whatever kind of school of thought gets like, okay, we see where you've been, we see where you've trained, we see your CV. Come and do this assessment and we will know for sure whether you're a good fit with a job. Pymetrics is the example that came to mind for me, PYMETRICS. They work with Fortune 500 companies and they can, in a two-minute assessment, they've got a very good fit with jobs. So I think the world that we're working in, Judith, and that we're going into is more and more, I don't know, less structured and more about the demonstrated ability to show competence as opposed to the focus on the actual credential or the way the credential is formulated. Many people, and I mean, we can use young people in this example, somebody who's been playing computer games, a young man or a young woman, computer games for a large part of their lives in this new generation, they're probably ready for quite a few of the new jobs that you and I would never be ready for. They would need no training. They don't have to go to liberal arts or wherever. They're probably quite ready to do that job pretty well. And this is challenging our paradigm of thinking how learning through building a very strong philosophical foundation, then specializing in later years, going into masters and PhDs. It challenges all of that. So I don't know. So my response to you, Judith, would be I think some of these things might be a bit too way out and people might say, well, we'll always need the master's and the PhD and so on. And others might say, well, we'll get to a point where those things become obsolete. I think we've got a transition period to go through. There's time for this kind of thinking to happen, but it's also happening at a pace. And I think organizations like CHEER and others have this opportunity through various platforms to open these debates so that universities can be ready for them and can influence the way they go.
So we will keep on doing work in the liberal arts. However, the expectations associated with the results of that kind of educational experience will change, and that will affect what we do and how we judge liberal arts education. Of course.